Let us listen to God's good word to us, as found in John chapter 11, starting at verse 17. This can be found on page 1078 in the Church Bibles. We take up the narrative on Christ's arrival at Bethany, his late friend Lazarus' hometown. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who'd been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
We're following today this I Am series. And you remember, I Am is a very loaded a couple of words. What Jesus meant when he said, I am. We know that by now. And today we're following this path, this journey of faith, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Next slide, please. Well, there's an image which chills most people when they see a coffin, because we know that that's our ultimate destiny. But one person had something to say about that, so next click. And Woody Allen once said, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. So let us pray. We pray, O Lord, that you will give us understanding of the deep truths in this life-transforming story. May these deep truths transform our lives today and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our Bible reading tells a story about a death in the family. But Jesus could have prevented this death. Why didn't he take action when it was needed? As soon as he heard that Lazarus was ill, he could have got to him. It's only a couple of miles away. Why didn't he just get on with it? It all seemed a bit heartless. And that comes out in the story. Next slide. Well, Martha and Mary were overwhelmed by grief at the death of Lazarus. They were devastated, disillusioned, and confused, and angered by the behavior of their trusted friend, Jesus. And these are normal emotions for us too, faced with similar circumstances. Trusting Jesus, trusting our loving Heavenly Father, at such times is very hard. So we need the support of our own loving Christian community at those times. Jesus went straight into this cauldron of grief, knowing that he was responsible for it. Professional grievers swelled the ranks of this grieving community. They made lots of noise, as was their tradition, weeping and wailing and shouting out and crying out. The atmosphere was filled with all the noises and emotions of deeply expressed grief. It's difficult for us, buttoned-up Brits, as they sometimes say, to understand this Middle Eastern style of grieving. But the relatives we see on TV of those who've been killed in war zones like Syria, we see those every day pretty much, help us to understand a bit of that. Next slide, please. It's normal for us to feel these emotions sometimes. At the height of his ministry, our vicar Trevor died suddenly last October, and many people in our church community were shocked and stunned and numbed by Trevor's sudden death. The grief was deeply devastating. Why did God allow this tragedy to happen? Many people were saying. Why did Jesus behave in a way that must have seemed strange to his disciples and Martha and Mary? I wonder if you've ever had that experience with a friend or a relative, someone you know very well, and they behave in a very odd way, and they make no attempt to explain their behavior. You just have to trust them. They're not going to do something really dangerous. The next slide, please. One of my hobbies is racing my yacht. And I quite often get mixed up in a melee like this, but I try to avoid it wherever I can. And sometimes with my crew, I just say, wait. And she says to me, there's a big pile of boats coming down here. There's a lot of them. And very soon they're going to start shouting at you, starboard and protests and all that stuff. You know, anybody that knows about yachting knows how competitive and competitive it can be. And I say, wait. And she looks at me and thinks, this is crazy. And they keep coming. And then when they're about 10 meters away, I say, ready about, lee ho. And immediately the boat turns. And then the tables are turned because they're all on windward and they have to give way to me. So as I let them sail straight past me, I don't worry about that because I know that they're going to be going over an area of very strong currents. There's a deep shoal, and they'll get swept away. Then I tack again and go back towards the finishing line. And as we cross the finishing line, she gives me that knowing look. Yeah. And I said, now you know what I mean by weight. Well, this is the weight bit of the story, isn't it? Where Jesus is actually saying to Martha and the others, just wait, wait. But that's really hard, isn't it? Next slide, please. In the Middle East, at the time of this story, it was very hot. If a person died, they're buried very soon afterwards. Well, why was that? Well, as we know, the dead body would have started to decay very rapidly and would stink. And that's not a very fitting end for a loved one, is it? Well, Jesus was a Jew, as were Martha and Mary and all the others in his family and his community. And touching a dead body would make them ritually unclean. Now, it's difficult for us to understand what that means today, but it does need a lot of unpacking. But it was a serious problem for any Jew to be ritually unclean. So Lazarus was wrapped up in cloth, as we say in this image here, and put into his burial tomb very soon after his death. Next slide, please. Well, how did these events affect Jesus? What does this story tell us about his emotional response to the death of Lazarus? Was he just cold and calculating like a sort of Sherlock Holmes figure? Yes, okay, deal with it. He knew what the end result was going to be. Why didn't he just tell them? It's okay, it's going to be fine, you know, it's all going to be all right. And you can imagine the response that would have got, you know, in this really high, heated atmosphere of emotion. You could have saved him. Why didn't you come? Sometimes it's best just to not tell people what's going to happen, even if you know what's going to happen. Just wait. So we're told that Jesus was actually affected. Next click. And we're told that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. You can see him there in that moment, perhaps with your mind's eye, just gripped by all that grief. You know that feeling when you're in grief? It kind of gets hold of your gut, doesn't it? And it just churns you. There are tears flowing down his face. Next slide. Well, this is one of those quiz questions. And last week I was in a pub quiz. And this is one of those ones you can put in your pocket and win the quiz with, possibly. So the question is, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? So those quizzes amongst us, what is that going to be? Graham? Jesus wept. There we are. That's one to keep, isn't it? Next slide, please. Well, there we have our House of Commons and Parliament. And when I watch a politician being questioned on TV, sometimes I find myself shouting at the screen, "Answer the question!" But they've been taught often to not answer direct questions, especially questions which are politically a bit embarrassing. And so they just robotically deliver the party dogma. That's the way it comes out, isn't it? Next slide. Well, Jesus says, this is our key verse today, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Then he asked Martha a direct question. "Do you believe this?" Well, does Martha answer this question? Well, her response is, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Okay, this is audience interaction time now. I'm going to take a vote on this. So if you think she did answer the question, that direct question, would you put your hand up, please? Okay, got a couple there. If you did not think she answered that question, she did not answer the question, would you put your hand up, please? Okay, a few answers there. Yes, very good. Okay. And if you are an abstainer, would you put your hand up, please? Yes, there's a few there as well. Well, I've been an examiner for various exam boards, and I don't think I would give Martha full marks for her answer. I think she gave a wise, diplomatic answer. But why did she do that? It would have been easy to just say, oh, yeah, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I believe it. Well, did Jesus previously claim that he had power over life and death? I don't think so. Jesus made a revolutionary claim when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, and whoever lives believes in me will never die. Nobody had ever said that before. It was an outrageous claim. Incredible. It was hard to take in. I'm not surprised that Martha, in this really heavy atmosphere of grief, was not really prepared to engage in some kind of theological debate here. She was saying, well, where's that question come from? You know, why are you asking me that? But there's another sense in which this story is also revolutionary, and it's this. We've already recently celebrated International Women's Day. And 2,000 years ago, no part in the religious rituals of the Jewish day were involving women. Women took no part whatsoever. Men were the only ones allowed to lead worship and to become rabbis, like Jesus, the teacher, and scribes and Pharisees. Women took no part in worship services like this one. They were, as is the case today in Orthodox Jewish religion, they were shut away behind a curtain during the worship, and they were in a gallery upstairs, and they were not allowed to make any noise which could be heard by the men downstairs doing the worship. And that's still the case today in Orthodox Jewish religion. But this is the revolutionary bit. At this time, with all that tradition, the place of women, Mary and Martha took prominent roles. They were the ones that had that revolutionary insight of Jesus showing he had the power over life and death. Well, to a Jewish reader of this story, that would have been absolutely explosive. So this journey of faith that we've been through here, it involves a sudden preventable death, grief, confusion, frustration with Jesus, trust in Jesus when he doesn't explain himself, belief in Jesus when he proves he has power over life and death. Well, what's it going to do with you and me now, 2,000 years later? Well, this story challenges us to trust Jesus even when we don't understand what he's doing or why, especially when he appears to do nothing. This story had a happy ending. How do you deal with a tragedy that doesn't have a happy ending? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He can deliver us from the destiny of death into his kingdom of everlasting life in all its abundance now. But we need to believe him to accept his offer of life. Next slide, please. Martha and Mary believed what Jesus said because they saw the evidence. We haven't seen a person brought back to life by Jesus. So we need to choose to believe. It's an act of will for us. Jesus said on one occasion to his disciples, "You have seen, so you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that's all of us now. So the crucial question is, do you believe this? Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this inspirational story. Give us that gift of faith that will empower and transform our lives day by day through Jesus Christ, our Lord of life. Amen.